is Thursday, and John, I'm going to lead off with one of the most incredible sassy stats in history.
Okay.
Today is the first day that the NBA, Major League Baseball, NFL, MLS, WNBA, and NHL are all playing on the same day.
Wow.
All of it.
Yeah, leave it to the virus. We saw this coming, remember? And we're only on for an hour today, so we got to jam in a lot of stuff.
Yes, yes.
And the reason we're on for an hour, by the way, is Lakers pregame at 2 o'clock, tip-off at 4. Lakers, Rockets, game 4. And there's breaking news about that we'll get to in a second. But we thought this might happen, Mace, that once one sport started to play, all the other ones would kickstart into gear.
Yes.
And we could end up with an absolute cavalcade of sports all in the same month. That month is September. There's going to be – you realize we could have the NBA Finals and the World Series on in the same week.
Yeah, same week. Same week. It is you know, we always joke it's all happening. We had a really struggle over a course of 6 months. We appreciate everybody sticking with us and being part of it, and we got to do some different stuff. But now, officially, this is like gravy, man. We got absolutely everything happening right now, including the NFL tonight, Pat Mahomes versus Deshaun Watson, two highest-paid quarterbacks in the NFL, thanks to Watson's recent deal. And, of course, tonight, Game 4, Lakers-Rockets, a chance to take a 3-1 series advantage and really punch the Rockets out. I think the Lakers are going to do that tonight.
Well, they need to, because the Clippers looked unbelievable last
night. Yeah, they look great.
And so I think the Clippers are going to take care of Denver in 5. If the Lakers want to have the same amount as the Clippers, they've got to do their part. But they may have gotten an assist after a knuckleheaded move by Daniel House of the Rockets.
Yes.
House missed game 3 for what Mike D'Antoni described as a personal issue, and we now know what that personal issue was.
Mace, yes.
Using your words, it appears that Daniel House violated the sanctity of the bubble. He is being investigated for improper contact with a tester in his hotel room.
Yes, yes.
And apparently, until they can get to the bottom of it, he can't play, and he's been ruled out for tonight. And that's a significant loss. In game 2, he was the only one who scored off the Rockets bench.
Yeah, I mean, he's their sixth man. He's a valuable 3-and-D guy, great two-way player, and a huge loss for Houston. Now, John, here's my question. I know sanctity of the bubble. If you – and by the way, all this is alleged. So let's just cast this out. Alleged. I'm using a Chris Haynes report, but there are a whole bunch of reports about this. So if you are getting with a tester, I'm assuming if you're somebody that is in the bubble testing people, you must have already tested negative.
That is not true.
Okay, how's that not true?
Well, for example,
they're letting people – wait a minute. They're letting people who may have COVID actually near other players to test them?
Yes. The way it was explained to me was, for example, all hotel employees were not required to go through the vigorous testing that the players were. So if you were a room service waiter, you didn't have to get tested as much. The players were getting tested every day. But if you were a room service waiter, because you're not coming in contact with people, you were not required to be tested.
Right, but the tester's coming in contact with players.
She has a mask on. She has a face shield on. She has gloves on. Is that not enough?
You don't think
protection?
She's been tested?
I don't know. But I know for a fact that all hotel employees were not required to be tested.
Yeah, you know, sanctity of the bubble is really important, breaking the rules. I just wonder about this one. If you're getting with somebody who's already inside the bubble, he's technically not breaking the sanctity of the bubble. She's already there. She's inside the bubble, and she's testing other players. He probably said, I like the way you stick that swab up my nose. Do you want to come to my room?
And somehow it worked.
You're really good with a swab. But that's a big loss for Houston, because already Mike D'Antoni plays a very short rotation, and they're eliminating a key rotation player there. That's why I think the Lakers are minus 5.5 tonight. Give me, bam, $5,000 on the Lakers minus the 5.5. Lakers minus the 5.5.
Cha-ching.
Cha-ching, thank you.
Okay, yeah, I like the Lakers tonight, but I'm not assuming anything. You know, the Rockets won game one. They had chances in game two and game three. Watching that Clipper game last night, and you and I were doing a fantasy draft, so I kind of had one eye on that and one eye on the fantasy draft. I just think Kawhi is at the peak of his powers right now. LeBron's at the peak of his.
Yeah.
That's going to be a battle of superheroes in the next round if it gets to Lakers Clippers, the likes we haven't seen in years. So,
John, I'm looking at tonight and I'm saying, all right, Houston in that last game played a really impeccable game. I mean, Russell Westbrook went for 30, only 3 turnovers. They shot 40% from 3. They only had 9 turnovers overall. They did not miss a free throw, and they still lost by 10. They did all the right stuff and still lost by 10. That's why I think they're no match for the Lakers tonight. I think the Lakers are going to blow their doors off tonight.
Well, if they do, then I think it's Lakers in 5 for almost for sure. I mean, they'd have to go through the formality of a fifth game, but I hope so, and because I don't want the Clippers to have any advantage over the Lakers, even if it's just an extra day off or two.
And here's what
I want those things to be equal.
You just explain this to me, and explain it to people on the air. So normally, like, there would be a date for the Western Conference Finals will start on September, whatever it is. And then there's a schedule for TV, and then the finals happen on whatever date. It's not necessarily going to go that way this year, right?
Right, only because there was that unexpected 3 days off when they protested, the Milwaukee Bucks protested, and then all the other teams followed suit. So that backed up the dates. And you don't necessarily want to leave teams in the bubble longer than you need to.
Right.
For example, if the Lakers won in 5, the Clippers won in 5, I think they start that series right up. Normally in a non-coronavirus year, they might wait because TV networks have schedules and programs, but none of the TV shows that are normally getting made and debuting right now are even in production.
So wait a minute. So if the Lakers were to win tonight and Saturday and the Clippers win tomorrow night, does that mean that the Western Conference Finals could start as soon as Monday?
Yes, but not a lock that they would. You know, it would be up to every night. At the end of the games, I get an email from the NBA explaining the schedule for the next day or the next couple of days. So at the end of the, like, we know already that the Lakers game 5 is going to be 5 o'clock on Saturday night, but we don't know what Monday is. They haven't announced it. We don't know if Monday is Game 6 of Lakers Rockets, Game 1 of Lakers Clippers. They'll announce it after the game on Saturday.
Right.
So that's the world that I've been living in, that you get an announcement after each time.
Yeah, I mean, I feel, and by the way, we haven't even mentioned the spectacular double overtime win for Toronto last night. That game was an absolute thriller. And the thing that blew me away, John, is that as you got late into that game, late in the second overtime, guys were making everything. They went on a run where it was just bucket after bucket after bucket until finally Marcus Smart, who somehow got an open shot with time running out and basically just overshot a three. It was online but overshot it. That would have tied the game and forced a third overtime. Instead, we're going to get a Game 7 Boston versus Toronto tomorrow night, and I think Boston is going to win that.
I do too, but I've been saying that. I said Celtics in 5 after I saw the first game. And I picked Toronto to go to the finals. So, you know, I don't know if you can go against Kyle Lowry. He's really good.
He is really good.
But I'm with you. If I had to pick it, I'd pick the Celtics. I think it'll be close.
All right, coming up next for you. John, you challenged Lindsay on something last week. Do you remember what it was?
I don't.
Okay. I will remind you of
which
it.
One?
Yeah, which one? Which time? Now, there's one particular time that you challenged Lindsay, and I think Lindsay now has taken the upper hand and won the argument.
Okay.
I'll explain it all next. Mesa and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Let me tell you about, this is a huge deal. Huge deal. We're giving away the 2021 Mazda CX-30. What am I thinking? Why didn't I mention this? OC Mazda, OCMazda.com, Huntington Beach Mazda, Tustin Mazda. We're giving away this car, and we're giving it away on Monday. Now, here's the deal. You've got to be listening to everything we say, even in this short show today. Something we say on today's show will be on the quiz tomorrow at 3:15. There will be a question from Tuesday, Wednesday, today, and tomorrow on the quiz. Answer all five, and you win the fourth and final key that could start that brand new 2021 Mazda CX-30. It is an unbelievable ride, and you will be thank us for a long time. And John Patterson, by the way, every caller tomorrow, whether or not you win, you'll have 30 meals donated to the OC Rescue Mission in your name. Really fun, really easy. Giving away the car on Monday. Details posted, ESPNLA.com or OCMazda.com. Good luck and enjoy the Mason Mazda giveaway. Now let's play the jingle.
OC Mazda, where it's all about you.
Thank you, John Patterson, OCMazda.com. Giving away the car on Monday. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
710 ESPN, Mason, Ireland. What is going on? It is Thursday, not just any Thursday. It is the single busiest day in the history of sports. Every sport is playing simultaneously, including some NFL tonight. You got your Houston Texans versus your Kansas City Chiefs, your defending Super Bowl champions, Deshaun Watson versus Patrick Mahomes there, and Western Conference semifinals game number 4, Lakers-Rockets is coming up for you. We'll have pregame for you at 2 o'clock. We're on for a short show today, and then 4 o'clock is the tip from the bubble in Orlando. So, John, last week, mm-hmm. We had a big debate about whether or not baseball should keep the extra innings rule the way it is.
Right, and I'm for it. I like it a lot.
And I also like it a lot. I am completely for it. The Dodgers are 5-1 in extra innings this year, including 2 in a row, including last night. A.J. Pollock, 2-run double in the 10th inning, won the game for the Dodgers. Now, you challenge – Lindsay doesn't like the rule.
Right.
And you challenged her, and she said, a lot of players don't like the rule. And you said, no, name a player. Name a player who doesn't like the rule.
Name one.
Name one. Lindsay?
I named a few, but apparently they weren't good enough, so.
And who is the one now?
Well, let's play it.
Okay.
I mean, it's not real baseball, but it's fine for this year, and I hope we never do it again.
Who is that, John?
Is that Kershaw?
That's Kershaw.
There is.
Yep, Clayton Kershaw.
Bam! In your face, John.
Well,
Bam! In your face.
Yeah, well, after Kershaw gets blown out in a playoff game again this year, he'll be pitching for the Rangers next season. So there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I think the rule is – Lindsay, are you still against the rule?
I mean, I do think it does make the game more fun – but I would prefer that after this year, it goes back to normal.
Yeah, I hope they keep it. I hope they keep it. I don't know if they will. I mean, if there's really pushback from players like Kershaw, maybe it won't. He's got a lot of
clout in that locker room, so a lot of players may line up behind him.
And probably with the Players Association, too.
Right.
Being a veteran. So they may have enough support to kill that idea. But
John,
I think it would be a shame.
Can you play it one more time just so we can make sure that John hears it correctly?
Yeah, I mean, it's not real baseball, but it's fine for this year, and I hope we never do it again.
Okay, let me quote Lindsay, John. bam, in your face.
Yeah, bam. I'm picturing her with like doing the hand gesture while she says it. it'll be interesting to see, because there's so many new things that are going to be like. For example, you and I hate the idea of a three-game series at the start of the playoffs.
Oh, it's the worst. It is the absolute worst.
If it goes well, like if they have a bunch of dramatic, really good series, they'll consider keeping it.
They will. They will consider.
Universal DH, they'll consider keeping it.
That one may stand, but the expanded playoffs will require an agreement from the Players Association. And remember, they fought against it. They fought against it this last year. So we may not see. I think the three-game playoff situation is just garbage. You know how I feel about it. I mean, I feel good about the Dodgers winning the World Series if they can get out of the three-game series. The three-game series is the one where absolutely anything can happen. It's so easy to lose two in a row. The Dodgers won two in a, lost two in a row this last week. So, I don't like the playoff system the way it's set up, but it's going to stand for this year. And maybe the extra innings thing doesn't go on. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't go on. I really love the idea. The last two nights have been great for Dodger games. If you're watching the Dodger games, they get to that 10th inning. It is exciting because you're starting with traffic on the bases. And to watch the way pitchers deal with that, to watch the way the pressure sort of ratchets up. Last week, last night, they got a huge hit from AJ Pollock. You got to keep doing stuff like that. It tests your clutchiness. I really like it. I have fun with it. So I disagree with Kershaw and with Lindsay. But Lindsay does win the argument. Bam, in your face.
Can you believe we're going to get NFL football tonight in a game that counts? It's so weird. Like, this weekend is Tom Brady against Drew Brees, and there's been almost no buildup for it.
No.
Because you don't have a lot of media at practice. You haven't had any preseason games. Like, this game tonight counts.
Yeah, plus there's so much going on. You know, we're not even able to think ahead to Sunday because we've got tonight, we've got NBA playoffs, we've got the Lakers playing tonight, we got everything happening at the same time. So we haven't, tomorrow we'll spend some time. I think tomorrow I've gotten a lot of feedback on my DMs and my Twitter timeline. Steve Fezzik will return to the show.
Oh, good.
Yes, Fez will return. Did you happen to hear from him, Linz?
Sure did. Text him with him now.
Cool. So we expect to have Fez. We will have Matthew Berry, I think, on Wednesdays this year. We will have Coach McVay.
No, there goes your memory again. It's Thursdays.
Okay, we will have Matthew Berry on Thursdays. Will we also have Fez on Thursdays?
Either Thursday or Friday.
Okay. We've got Keyshawn Johnson every Monday to wrap up the NFL week. We've got Sean McVay every Tuesday.
She told you all of this yesterday.
Well, yeah. I would like to see it like written out in a document
No, I remember all of it. Why can't you?
Because this is a weird week because we didn't have Monday.
Right, but that doesn't have anything to do with, you know, we're going to have Keyshawn every Monday. We're going to have Matthew Berry every Tuesday. We're going to have McVay every Wednesday. I mean, she told us both yesterday.
I'll spell it out for you. I'll write it down.
Do it. Do it. Spell it out for me. Spell it out for me. In any event, we are geared up for football season, and we are ready with all the regular stuff that we always do, including betting Mythical Money. Who do you like tonight, John? You like KC or Houston?
What's the spread? 9?
9. It's a huge number.
This was that weird playoff game last year where Houston jumped out 24-0.
Yep.
There's the team that wins the Super Bowl often has a Super Bowl hangover. If I had to bet it, and I'm not betting it, I'm not going to lay down any Mythical Money this weekend because I want to see what everybody looks like. I would, if I had to
9.5. You can get 9.5.
Yeah, if I could get 10, I would take Houston. But if I had to bet it at 9.5, I'd bet it on the Chiefs. How about you?
Give me $2,500 on the Texans. Cha-ching!
You're getting a lot of points.
Cha-ching. I'm getting a lot of points. That's a lot of points.
All right, you just bet money on Bill O'Brien.
Yes.
Good luck with that.
Bill O'Brien.
Receiver that Deshaun Watson has to throw to tonight.
Yeah, I don't even know if Brandon Cooks is healthy.
I don't think he is. And
yeah.
I don't know if Will Fuller's healthy. I you know, who knows?
Linz, it is Texans minus 9.5. Or, I'm sorry, it's Texans plus 9.5 over Kansas City.
Got it.
Texans plus 9.5 over KC. All right, coming up next, we will circle back to the big story of the night, which is the Lakers taking on the Houston Rockets. What do the Lakers need to do to polish them off and force, potentially, punch their ticket for the Western Conference Finals as soon as Saturday? John, I am counting my chickens before they've hatched. I'm counting on a five-game series. Counting on it. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, Mason in Ireland. The Laker game is early today, 4 p.m., 4 o'clock, Lakers-Rockets. Pregame show at 2 o'clock with Michael and Alan Sliwa. And Mason and I are leading you up to there. Now, last night, you're back.
Okay, cool.
Last night, Mason and I had our fantasy football draft. It was the return of last place Mace.
Yep.
He has finished dead last in the Hollywood Fantasy Football League, which we've both been in for 20 years. Mason has finished dead last 3 straight seasons and woo-woo. 4 of the last 5.
Thank you. Thank you very
Mace,
much.
Mace, how do you feel you did in the draft last night? How do you feel about your team now that you have actual people on it?
You know, I like my team. I like my team a lot. I think I – like, do you have your starting lineup set?
I do. Well, we're doing a weird thing this year. We're starting 2 running backs and 1 wide receiver.
Right.
And then a tight end, a defense, and a kicker. We have all these COVID rules.
So it's basically a running back, a wide receiver, and a flex.
Correct.
Running back or wide receiver. We do have to carry a tight end. Okay, so Lindsay, you be the judge. John, who's your quarterback?
Matt Ryan.
And mine is Ben Roethlisberger. Who do you like, Lindsay?
Overall, or I mean, this week I like Big Ben a lot better, but overall, probably have to give the edge to Matt Ryan.
Okay, Matt Ryan. Vote for Matt Ryan.
Okay, and I also, Lindsay, drafted Cam Newton. Do you think that's a good pick or a bad pick?
Oh, yeah, that's a great pick.
Okay, so I have him. If Matt Ryan doesn't do anything,
you have 2 quarterbacks. You have a backup quarterback.
To have a backup everything in our league.
Yep. Yeah, my backup quarterback is Joe Burrow.
Such a waste of a roster spot.
Well, yeah, and that Joe Burrow pick might have been the worst pick of the whole draft.
I don't know. I think he could be. I think they're going to throw the ball a lot.
Well, they're going to have to because they're going to be behind a lot.
I only need him for 1 week. My running back is Christian McCaffrey.
So here's an interesting one. I was shocked this was the case. Like, for example, you know that all the ESPN experts play in the same fantasy league?
Yes.
And Lewis Riddick had the first pick.
Oh, yeah.
You know who he took?
That Kansas City rookie.
He took Hilaire.
Yeah. I got Hilaire, Lindsay, with the 9th pick. And when it came back around to me,
Devontae Adams?
No, Aaron Jones was still there. The guy who led the NFL in touchdowns last year with 20. So I have Aaron Jones and Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Are you playing both those guys?
I am.
Okay, and I'm playing Christian McCaffrey, Miles Sanders from the Eagles, and OBJ. Those are my 3 skill position guys.
I wouldn't be playing OBJ this week.
You wouldn't be?
Not against Baltimore, no way.
Well, yeah, I've got the Baltimore defense.
So that's kind of cancel each other out, right?
Yeah, who's the wide receiver that you're playing not in the flex? OBJ?
OBJ, yeah. I'm playing OBJ.
All right, so I have a decision you guys can help me with. My best wide receiver is Adam Thielen.
Yes, okay? Correct.
He's really good, but I like...
Yeah, but he has a terrible quarterback.
Kirk Cousins isn't terrible. He's just not great.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so... But I'm benching Thielen this week because I also have Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, and I like playing guys who play in either the Sunday night or the Monday night game.
Sure.
It kind of gives you – so I'm playing Cooper Kupp. If you guys had to pick between Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, and Adam Thielen, who would you play?
I mean, I got to be honest. I'd take Thielen.
I'd play Cooper Kupp.
I'm playing Kupp.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just because I think him and Goff, I think he's Goff's favorite receiver. The Rams are playing in a new stadium on national TV. They don't want to get embarrassed. So, well, we'll see. You know what, Mace? How many times have we had in this league you love your team and then it finishes in the bottom, or you hate your team and it turns out they're good?
Yeah.
You never know. You never
happens
know.
Happens all the time. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what I would do without fantasy during football season. I actually love fantasy during football season, basketball season, and baseball season. I've got a baseball league going on right now where I am not last, but I am second to last. I'd like to point out last place Mace, not living up to his standards there, second to last place. A fantasy football and fantasy basketball, I'm in Trudell's league. I've got DraftKings going on. And Jalen Rose just joined our DraftKings league that we do every week with Marcellus and Max and those guys. So we've got that, and we've got one and done is on the way, John. Ken Park, our friend Ken Park, who does the big one and done pool, emailed me today and said he's heard from so many degenerate gamblers that he is going to restart the one and done pool. So,
yeah, so it may have to start with week two.
So we'll sponsor Lindsay and sponsor Jorge to make sure we're all in the one and done league. But all that stuff is fun. Football season's all about the action, man. I like getting some action. I like getting some action. And, you know, it's interesting now. The Denver Broncos appear to be in the process of maybe building a sports book at Mile High Stadium.
Yeah, I think in the next 5 to 10 years, you'll be seeing people making bets from their phones while they're in the stadium watching the game.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think that all these things are going to surprise it. Hey, if I said to you about the Laker game tonight, if I said to you that there is a Laker that has made 13 of its last 17 shots, who would you guess it is?
A Laker who's made 15 of 17?
13 of his last 17 shots.
Well, I know Rondo went off the other night.
It's a good guess. It's incorrect. Lindsay, who do you think? 13 of his last 17 shots.
I'm going to guess KCP.
No.
No, I would guess my backup pick,
Jorge
Kuzma.
Kuzma is correct.
Yeah.
He went 7 of 10 in the last game, and before that he went 6 of 7 in game 2. He's very quiet, and he's playing good defense. He's very quietly making. You know, everybody is focused on playoff Rondo. You know, because he's real and he's spectacular. But Kuzma, Kuzma, George, you're the only one who gets
it. I got it.
Kuzma has been really, really solid, really great off the, off the bench for the Lakers, and is probably the unsung hero of the first three games so far.
Let me ask you a question. If you're Mike D'Antoni, Rajon Rondo is coming off a game where he scored 21 on 8 of 11, 9 assists and a steal. That 8 of 11 is very suspicious because he's generally not that good a shooter.
Correct.
If you're Mike D'Antoni, don't you just dare him to shoot and live with it if he does? Make one?
From three, yes.
That's kind of the guy and he got hot from three, but that's kind of the guy you want shooting if you're Mike D'Antoni and the Rockets.
Right. From three, I have no issue with that, but if he starts putting the ball on the ground and driving to the basket.
Oh, drive and kick, he's really
been lethal.
Good.
Yeah.
Really good.
I hope that they played Rondo 30 minutes last game. I hope they do it again. You know, Rondo in this series is 6 of 15 from 3, 40%.
Wow, that's crazy. You guys listened to a podcast today, and they're talking about how LeBron, his whole career, has wanted to play with Rondo. His whole career. He's wanted to play with Rajon Rondo. And all season long, fans, including me, questioned whether Rondo fit on this team, questioned if he still had it. And now it appears that LeBron was right. Rob Pelinka was right. They were the right. It was right to get this guy. Now, it's only two games, but those two games, he was really spectacular. So we'll see if he can keep that up. But if I'm Mike D'Antoni, I still think that's a 3-point shot from Rondo is probably a shot I'm gonna allow.
Well, I feel the same way
if he makes it.
I feel the same way with Westbrook. If Westbrook,
oh same,
and you know Westbrook in the last game was actually pretty good from three, but I would still give him that shot tonight. you know, it, coming into that, he was, I think, shooting 15% from three.
Yeah, and he's
in
a career, career 30% shooter
yeah,
from
he's
three.
He's 5 of 22 from three.
Whew.
In the series. Now, last game, he kind of found his stroke, but I would give Westbrook that shot anytime he wants it.
All right, coming up next for you, we're going to do some crosstalk with Michael Thompson and with Alan Sliwa.
Oh, pre-game. I have one question before we break.
Yeah.
Last night at the end of the draft, do you remember what you said to the rest of the guys in the league?
Mm-mm.
You said, is it too soon to cut somebody and pick someone else up? And we all went, wait a minute, you haven't had a game yet. And you said, yeah, I just want to know, can I make a move? Now, what kind of an owner are you that you're going to cut a guy who hasn't played a game yet? Did you do it?
I did.
You know how many people
in my league
do that?
I did.
That happens all the time.
Wait, but before the season even starts?
Yeah, before the season even started.
Mace, who did you pick up?
I dropped the Giants kicker.
Okay.
Which I don't know why I ever even thought that was a good idea. And I picked up the Indianapolis kicker.
Okay, so you did something. I have a rule every year with kickers that I don't even know if you know, but you followed it. Okay, so do you know what it is?
No.
I never understand. See, you corrected your mistake, but even if you have a great kicker, if he kicks in a cold weather city with an outdoor stadium,
yeah,
he's handicapped from the get-go. You always want to take somebody in a dome. Like, I took Greg the Leg. I took Zuerlein. Now, he had a bad year last year, but he's kicking in a dome now.
Yeah, he's dead from 40-50. He'll make a couple of 50s, but he's dead from 40 to 50 last year.
Right, but in a dome now, he has no weather factors to put up with.
Right, right. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm excited to start another football season. I know all you guys got leagues too. All right, coming up next for you, Michael Thompson, Alan Sliwa will join us. 2 o'clock pregame, 4 o'clock tip, Lakers versus Rockets, game 4. Lakers looking to take a commanding 3-1 series lead. We'll see what the guys think next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's right. We got all the sassy stats for you. 2 o'clock is pregame as we get ready for a 4 o'clock tip this afternoon in the bubble in Orlando. It'll be the Lakers and Rockets.
I hate that Lakers plus minus crap. You could be out there, Mace. You could put up a Klay Thompson like 37 points in a quarter and still be on the minus side because the rest of the guys didn't do their job.
No, look, if you were out there with Klay and he went off like that, you would just ride his coattails to like a plus 30.
Well, I'm just saying, but suppose some guy goes off for 25 points in a quarter, and yet he still comes out on the minus side. Come on.
So do you think that plus-minus is a meaningless number,
Michael?
Yeah, because
I've seen guys got there be with zeros across the board, 2 rebounds, and be plus 10. Did nothing.
Mace, there was a game early in the season where I was about to ask Greg Popovich a plus-minus question, and somebody before me asked. And the answer from Greg Popovich was, I'm not going to answer that. I don't care about the plus minus
That's right.
at all.
That's
I think ridiculous. It tells nothing. But I always look at that stat. I feel like sometimes it does tell, you know, a story to an extent.
No, it don't.
I agree with you. I think that it tells a story that doesn't show up in the box score. Like, for example, the Lakers had a team best plus 10 from Markieff Morris in game 3. Now, to me, that's interesting. When Markieff Morris was on the floor, they were very, very effective. Now, does that mean – and he wasn't necessarily scoring. Does that mean nothing, Michael?
No, because I've been on games where I've been on teams in Portland where I was having a great game, yet we still lost, but I still come out on the minus. That means I had no effect on the game? Come on.
But, Mace, to play with what you just said, Markieff started in the second half. That's when Lakers held the Rockets, 38 points in the second half.
But Ireland is Mr. Analysis. Analysis, is that a word?
Sure it is.
He loves those numbers. He's a numbers nerd.
Well, I think plus minus can tell you a lot. For example, the best combination on the Lakers in terms of plus minus is LeBron and Caruso. Mm-hmm. That makes sense to me. I mean, because Caruso
better than AD and LeBron.
Yeah, but only because.
How does that make sense?
Well, because Caruso is out there a lot with LeBron.
So is AD.
They actually spell each other. You'd be surprised. I mean, they, for example, if the first guy to go out is LeBron, and then when LeBron comes back in, AD goes out.
Yeah, but they're still on the court the most of the time together.
But MT, if Caruso's in too, it's with some of the reserves. So when LeBron and AD, they're playing obviously predominantly against the starters. So that could actually tell part of the story as well.
And I think what Caruso does often doesn't show up in the box score.
Oh, yeah, he's a hustler, boy. He makes things happen.
He makes every little play. He's on the floor. Yep. He's diving out of bounds. He's doing everything it takes. He moves the ball.
Kiki Hernandez, right?
Kiki Hernandez. Kike. Yes, he's their Kiki Hernandez. Yeah. That's a good way to describe it, Michael. Mm-hmm. So, Michael, how are you feeling about this series? Don't you feel please. Like this is the night the Lakers make it 3-1 and kind of put it away?
I predicted 5-game series, so why should I change now, Mr. Mason?
I was a 5-game series as well. Right. I think the Lakers romp tonight.
Michael, is it significant that the Clippers are doing so well on the other side of the bracket? In other words, if you're the Lakers, do you not want to give the Clippers any more time off than you get? Does that matter?
Of course. The Clippers are going to be finished in the next game. Denver's done. So, yeah, you don't want the Clippers sitting around for a week, even though you could turn into rust, but they're going to be well-rested. So the Lakers need to finish this series off on Saturday, too, because the Clippers are going to finish theirs tomorrow.
John, do you think this
– and if the Lakers finish the Saturday, Ireland, that means we play Monday, right, to the West Finals.
It could mean that, Michael. Yeah. They're trying to get everybody out of the bubble quicker, but when you get closer to – the NBA Finals, you got to get the TV networks involved. My sense is, though, that they're going to try and get these people. These guys have been in the bubble for 60-plus days. I don't think they're going to mess around.
Right.
I think they're going to start it up as soon as they can start it up.
John, do you think we'll have game times like this when it's Eastern and Western Conference Finals?
No, I think that the Eastern and Western Conference Finals are all going to start at 6. But I don't know that. They haven't announced
it. Yeah, because that's what they do to the regular finals. In the regular, you know, when things are normal. Hey, by the way. Was that one of the greatest games ever played yesterday, Toronto?
So incredible.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see Nick Nurse during the scrum yesterday?
The scrum. No, I saw him stand on the court and fool Jason Tatum into throwing him the ball.
It was great during the scrum. And when the two teams started talking trash because they didn't leave the court right away, he got in the middle of his pushing his players back and basically was saying, bleep him, talking about Marcus Smart. Oh, it was great.
You know, you guys were talking about during the Bucks-Miami series, you guys were mentioning that Giannis was only playing around 30 minutes or so. Right. Yesterday,
whatever happened to him?
Yeah. Yesterday, 4 out of the 5 players for both teams, Boston and Toronto, played 50-plus minutes.
That's how it should be in the playoffs,
right? How it should
be.
Hey, Michael, I had a thing yesterday I asked Mason. I'm curious what you think about it. So the NBA is going to have an embarrassing MVP ceremony that they're going to give to Giannis on a Zoom in some hotel or at the Bucks practice facility. Wouldn't it be smarter for them to do what hockey does and just do all the awards at the end of the year, and then, I mean, the season's over, you have a big award ceremony at the end of the year, and then you could consider what guys did in the postseason when you vote.
Yes.
Do you think that would fly?
That would be much better. Just incorporate the playoffs, too, as far as who's the MVP.
Right.
Even though they give you a finals MVP as well, but you could also give it to that same guy if it's the same person. But, yeah, I think an award show at the end of the season would be fun to watch. I mean, you know how Mason loves award shows.
I love an award show. Yeah.
Especially if he's getting an award.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Would you want to be a presenter at the award show, Mace?
I would absolutely. Well, I'd obviously want to be the recipient. But if I couldn't be the recipient, I would love to be a presenter.
Except the problem is, Mace, Michael, Mace would refuse to be a presenter unless he was guaranteed he was winning something. He's one of those guys who would not show up just to be a presenter.
Although, you know what, Michael? Those presenters, they all get these amazing swag bags filled with all kinds of stuff.
Don't you have to pay taxes on that?
I think you do.
Because they're worth like $100,000, right?
Oh, yeah. Those swag bags have all kinds. You're right. It's like $100,000 worth of stuff. So, yeah, you do got to pay taxes on it. But I think the idea of it is embarrassing now.
Yeah.
Because I think we were all of us were on LeBron for MVP.
Or it is have the voting come in by the end of the regular season. So at the start of the playoffs, you could present the MVP trophy to whoever the guy is. You know, instead of waiting.
Shouldn't have waited that long.
Yeah.
Technically, they did know the winner because everybody did vote at the end of the regular season. So why couldn't they have gotten all the awards out before somebody exited the party?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were staggering. You know, defensive player of the year, most improved player. They waited on MVP. I think they probably never thought that Bucks would be out in the semi.
Who's the MVP right now between LeBron and Kawhi?
Well, that's another reason why you would vote Michael after the season, because those guys are going to go head to head, and won't that be decided in that series?
Well, of course. But right now, today, September 10th. Remember that date, 2001, how normal the world was before that.
Yeah,
but September 10th, right now in the playoffs, who's the MVP, LeBron or Kawhi?
I would – here's – people won't be surprised by this, but it's LeBron, because I think LeBron makes everybody else better. Kawhi is fantastic, and he's who you go to if you need a basket. But LeBron is Kawhi, and he also leads the league in assists. And we've never seen this type of defense out of LeBron, where he's blocking shots. Those four blocks he had the other day, Michael, were the most he's ever had in a quarter in his entire 17-year career.
That's amazing.
So I would give it to LeBron.
John, and just to go off of that too, Lakers, their dependency on LeBron. We've seen in games, and this could be the greatest thing that happens to the Lakers, is that Rondo comes back, and maybe when LeBron's off LeBron's on the bench, that they have somebody else that can contribute and get everything else going. That's the one thing I say about LeBron, difference with Kawhi. Lakers depend so much on one player. With Kawhi, it's not that they're not dependent on him, but they can kind of hold their own until he comes back.
By the way, Mason, you have been as wrong about Rondo as Polian was about Lamar Jackson. You want to apologize?
Yeah. Sorry, Rajon. Yeah. I mean, look, I'll own the screw-ups I have in my
analysis. Well, wait a minute.
Though.
Mason, it's not like Michael Mason was the only one. I heard from Laker fans throughout the season. Well, Alan, I know you did because you hosted the postgame show. Why are they playing Rondo? Why are they playing Rondo?
More Caruso, Rondo, less Rondo.
Yeah, Rondo's killing us. And I will tell everybody this, that the coaching staff and LeBron never listened to that. Hmm. They love Rondo. Uh-huh. If he's healthy and available, he's getting minutes, because Frank Vogel says it's like having another player who's a coach out on the floor, and LeBron loves what he brings to the team. So the outside noise never got in, never got inside the Lakers'
heads. Thank goodness. Can you imagine if Vogel was coaching and listening to the fans?
Oh, if he was on Twitter and making decisions based on Twitter. Oh, hey, what's my rotation tonight? Hashtag Lakers.
Oh, that'd be great.
It'd be fantastic.
It would be.
By the way, isn't it great, too? He hasn't been stubborn at all in this postseason, deciding, okay, JaVale, Dwight, this is just not the series for you. And they are adjusting. They are going small. Sometimes you have coaches that will say, no, I'm going to do it my way. Make the Rockets adjust to us.
He's not putting a buttonholzer, is what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. He's not. He's actually adjusting to what they have to do against the Rockets. But the final thing on Rondo, John, you were saying in the postgame show, you would have thought Rajon Rondo was a three-time MVP this past postgame show. Really? Everybody that was criticizing came out and praised.
Did they all acknowledge that they were wrong?
Absolutely not.
Oh, they were all Rondo fans. I announced the other day, I've
been saying from the beginning, Rondo is the key.
It was so cool because I got to see playoff Rondo, and I was wearing my Rondo jersey while I was watching the game. It was fantastic.
You have a Rondo jersey?
I have a Rondo jersey that I put on for games, yes.
I didn't know that. Yeah, what number is Rondo?
He's number 8.
Come on.
Wait a minute. Can't guess 8.
Come on, man. Jeez, man.
Number 8.
8
no,
is retired
so
forever.
Number 6.
Come on.
You're just an idiot.
Because you're looking at it upside down.
Wait a minute, Michael. In fairness, I've made it very clear on this show that I have no grasp for numbers.
What number?
None whatsoever.
You're a Rams fan, right?
Yes.
What number was Eric Dickerson?
No clue.
Oh, God.
Mace, there are more Dickerson jerseys than any jersey.
I know. There's tons of them. I don't know how to explain this any other way, except I don't have any faculty for numbers.
What number was Deacon Jones?
No clue.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's 70, how I
75, by
that's
the way.
How I remember phone numbers.
What number is Jared Goff?
We did this one recently. Is he?
Unbelievable,
is
Mace.
He
what are you looking
18?
At when you watch him
is
play?
Is he 18?
You just have some 16.
Like 16.
Yeah, and he wears a number because of which quarterback?
No clue.
Who played San Francisco quarterback?
Montana?
There you go, Mace. My goodness, this seems impossible.
All right, so, Michael, let me see if this works on you. Uh-huh. If I was trying to get a girl to give me her phone number back in the day, she would give me her number, and I would say, okay. So, Michael, stay with me here. Byron Scott, Kareem, Jerry West Worthy. What's her phone number?
That's easy. Even Sliwa knows that. Tell him, Sliwa. Byron Scott. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, I don't think I'm gonna make it happen.
Four, Byron.
Correct. Kareem.
33.
Jerry West.
44.
James Worthy.
42.
There you go. 4-3-3-4-4-4-2.
Yeah, that's a good way to remember.
That is a good way.
Sliwa, what number was Magic Johnson?
Come on now. Come on.
Tell us.
32.
All right.
Yeah, I got that one.
Even you know that one, Mace?
Yeah, even I know that one.
Mace, what number was Gail Goodrich?
No clue.
What number was Jamal Wilkes?
No clue.
By the way, Mace, all these numbers are on the
wall. Are retired. I know. They're all hanging there. I know the guys that have jerseys up there. I just don't
Mace,
know
I'm not good with those numbers.
When they retire Paul Gasol's number, what number will go up on the wall?
It's the same as Jared Goff's.
16.
Very good. Very good. What number was – well, you got to know this one. What number was Shaq?
No clue.
Oh, come on.
None.
Wow. That's amazing.
None. I don't know. I mean, we've done this on the show. I don't remember numbers. I have no – I remember everything else. And, you know, it's weird, Michael. You know, I like the nerdy numbers. I do a lot of nerdy numbers on the show.
What do you mean nerdy numbers? Like what?
Oh, you know, like
war, plus, numbers
plus
like war
minus,
stuff?
Wins above replacement, fielding independent pitching in baseball, all that kind of
OPS.
Stuff. I love all those OPS. I love all those numbers.
Yeah.
And yet, I cannot remember the numbers of players.
You got to ask a psychologist why that is. It's some kind of mental block you have.
I got a psychiatrist and a psychologist both on speed dial, so I'll try to find out.
You know what it is? I think it's all that blunt you smoke.
It could have something to do with that.
Because
that.
I'm sure I heard that.
All right, you guys, I got to get in the car. I'll let you keep talking.
Why is no
I'll
traffic
see you guys
out there? You could walk over here. So no traffic.
I think we wrap here.
By the way, you should be over
at
Nelly.
5 minutes that it's time to wrap.
We do. Mace, you should see. It looks like apocalypse has happened over here with all this smoke.
It's weird. Oh, it's weird
it's
outside.
Crazy,
yeah,
man.
The pictures in San Francisco are really crazy. Just big orange, mean-looking sky. All right. Tomorrow we are back at 1 o'clock sharp. We anticipate Steve Fezzik will do a little gambling tomorrow, getting ready for the big weekend of football. Have a great sports night. We will wrap it up for you tomorrow at 1. In the meantime, it is Lakers pregame with Alan Sliwa and Michael Thompson right here on the home of the Lakers, 710 ESPN.